Podcast episode number two.
Yeah.
My name's Stephen Cox.
My name is Gannon Phillips.
And today we're going to be talking about the various methods that you can use to start learning how to play a musical instrument.
Learning to play an instrument. This is an exciting time for your life.
That's right.
Woo! I'm imagining that music. You know, the 1950s. So you want to learn to play an instrument?
I have no idea what you're Smith. Talking about.
Come on, 1950s. It has that nice perky.
With the little cartoons.
And yeah, things. And then he comes home and his wife's sitting there vacuuming the carpet, being all good wife and stuff. And oh, I'm starting to get a touchy subject there.
That's right. Oh my goodness.
It was the 50s.
Cancel the whole podcast.
It was a different time, people.
I don't understand anything he just said. But
what is this podcast about?
This is freemusiced.org talking about. How to learn how to play an instrument.
Okay.
Okay, so here's some possibilities. I want to start with this. I want to start by describing a method to learn to play an instrument. I call this method the scientific method. You know, science has evolved and we've learned more and more things over thousands of years. And if you use this method, that's how long it will take you to learn to play your instrument. This is a frequent method of many different people where they pick up an instrument and they start making noises and doing things with it with absolutely no resources or idea what they're doing, hoping that somehow they will discover and invent years of technique and understanding on that instrument. It sounds ridiculous, but people do this. People will find a guitar and they'll just start strumming and beating on it and doing all these things because they either have no access to other resources or there's just something wrong with them. I don't know.
They just don't take the time to find the other resources.
Well, it's true, especially now.
They just think, oh, I'll just pick this up and get good at it. But I'll tell you, TV and movies have kind of ruined our perception.
Oh, yes.
Have you seen
the movie August Rush?
I have not, but I've heard about it.
Well, you know, it's absolutely beautiful. This kid magically learns how to play instruments within hours without any type of education or anything. This is a fairy tale. This kid knows how to do magic. I don't know why people don't think this is the same as Harry Potter, but people think they can just sit down there and start pushing buttons and messing with things, and within a few hours, they'll be a virtuoso musician.
You know, if you go back and watch that movie, Harry Potter's actually in the background of almost every shot.
He's casting a spell on August Rush, making him able to do these things.
Clarinet is a spa moose.
That's probably exactly what he did. So what I'm saying is that the very worst thing you can possibly do is start going at playing an instrument without any idea exactly what you're supposed to be doing, without any help, without any resources, because you'll probably do yourself more harm than good.
And the instrument.
You could ruin your instrument.
It's going to run away from home if you do that.
It's pretty bad. So if you know, I'm not saying it's impossible to teach yourself to play an instrument. For some people, that is the only possible way they have to learn to play an instrument.
Mm-hmm.
Through financial concerns or just a geographical location. You can be in a place where there are no bagpipe players, but you really want to learn to play the bagpipes. That would be most places.
Yes. Thank goodness. I've been around bagpipe players before. You know how loud those things are?
Well, that's actually the good thing about bagpipes, is if there is a bagpipe player within 90 miles, they can stay at their home and play bagpipes, and you can listen to them from your home.
They don't have to leave their house for a gig.
That's right.
Did you play that musical, Brigadoon?
Yes, we played a musical
that thing
once.
Was so loud.
They had a live bagpiper. He walked in. People thought the fire alarm was going off.
Well, the room was made for like 200 people.
And they had a live bagpiper.
Oh, it was just deafening.
Okay, enough about bagpipes. If you could ever have enough about bagpipes.
I think we have.
So if you're going to teach yourself, you're going to need some resources. So one of the first ways that musicians started spreading their knowledge of how to play an instrument is through the book.
The method book.
The method book generally will have sheet music examples and words in written form and... you know, maybe some diagrams and pictures, and by reading this book and absorbing that information, you can help develop some skill at playing an instrument.
And there's some really excellent books out there.
There are, and some of these books, they they might be really hard to understand, though, if you have no musical experience.
But a well-written method book, for example, the Hal Leonard Bass Method for bass guitar.
That's a good book.
I love that book. I also love the guy who wrote it. His name's Ed Friedland, and he's been a working bassist for many, many years. He's played with lots and lots of musicians, including James Brown. His James Brown stories are hilarious.
Aren't all James Brown stories hilarious?
Yes.
Okay.
But he played with James Brown, which, as a bass player, that's one of the pinnacles of bass playing, is some of the James Brown stuff. But anyways, his method book, the Hal Leonard Method book, is so well written. I almost think that anybody could walk in with a bass guitar that they've never played before and pick up that book, and if they read that book carefully and they go through it piece by piece, the way that the book tells you, I think you could learn to play the bass guitar very well just off of that set of books.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. And there are some method books like that. There's other ones that are not so wonderful in that respect. I'll give you an example. One of the most important clarinet method books is the Closse method book. It's a great book, but it is not a self-teaching book. It's not one that you can take. It's one that you really need an instructor to go through. There's virtually no diagrams. It's translated from French, I think. But it's got amazing examples for clarinet. And so that's why it's such a popular book, is because it's got such wonderful music within it. And it's now public domain, which makes it popular in my heart.
Is it phonetically translated?
Wouldn't that be good?
Because then, you know, you get to your first note and it goes, ah, ha, ha.
Right?
Here's how you play open G.
Oh, yes. Well, and you can read it, and it starts on open G, and there you go. So it's got some great things in it, but there's no way that I think the random clarinet player could pick this up and just learn how to do it from that. So that being said, some method books are great, but they're not great to do by yourself. Other books are great to do by yourself, and then there's also a third type of method book. These method books are terrible. Do you have an example? I've seen some.
I think maybe I haven't seen many terrible method books. I've seen some outdated method books.
I can see that.
You know, there's a bass method book that I taught out of for one person one time, and it didn't work because it was written in the 70s. And in the electric bass world, there's a lot of things that have changed since then, and people are interested in different things. And the book, while it had, you know, kind of technical and foundational, you know, it was written okay, but it was really boring.
That reminds me, too, whenever I was in college, we had a woodwinds book that, you know, talked about fundamentals for each instrument. It was also written in the 70s, and the haircuts in the pictures were so incredibly bad, I couldn't focus on the content of the book. Legitimately. Yes.
But I think there's a lot of books out there that you pick up going, oh, great, this book will teach me to play this instrument. I'm going to learn with this one. And it may be a book that's written for a different situation than you're in right now. Maybe that book is meant to be used with the teacher, with other resources. Or maybe it's written in mind that you already know a little bit about what you're talking about. So it may start at a higher level than you're already at.
Oh,
or it may move too fast for your learning pace. You know, and the problem with the book is that it cannot be specifically tailored for every single person who's going to pick it up.
That's true.
And everybody learns differently.
It's real easy for you to get to a point where you misunderstand something in a book, and it affects everything that happens after that.
Yes, music is a cumulative subject.
Nice.
We learn music in the same way that we learn math. It's scaffolding.
Don't say that. Nobody will want to do it.
It's scaffolding. It's a teacher term right there.
Right? It's where you start stacking things up. It's so that everything you do builds on each other.
You have to have layer one in order to have layer two, and you got to have layer one and two to have layer three, and so on and so forth. And so if you're in level 16 and you're missing layer four, you're never going to understand anything above layer four, and everything's gonna be real shaky, and eventually it's gonna fall over. And that's just kind of how music works. It's a very cumulative thing. You've got to know that one step to get to the next,
and it's easy to miss that. So make sure whenever you do pick out a book that you're picking something that's well thought of, that's well reviewed and well accepted. If you're not taking lessons, but you know of a good music store and things, that's where you can start to find those people who are experts and can help you pick out the right book.
Yeah, and read those Amazon review, kids.
That's right. All those Amazon reviews, all of them.
Written by fantastic experts on the subject who might have used the book once.
Might have even bought it before.
Yeah, they might have bought the book.
Anyway, so yeah, as you could see, a little bit of cynicism about how effective Amazon reviews are, but even Amazon reviews can be very telling about a book. If you can read one that's very intelligently put together, you know, it might have some good truth in it.
This book is terrible. When I got it, I pulled it out of the envelope and it was upside down. I couldn't read anything.
Yeah, that would be an example of
That's my angry internet voice.
That was charming. Okay.
It's kind of Richard Nixon-y.
Here's another possibility for self-teaching, and that is the self-teach DVD. Here's an example. Learn to play harmonica in 5 minutes with this DVD.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Anything you ever find anywhere that says learn to play blankety-blank in blank amount of time is a hoax. Don't buy it. It's a marketing campaign that is suggesting that using the whole problem we have with wanting things to be instantaneous in the world, that they're going to sell you this book. And you're going to learn to play in 5 minutes. You're not. You might learn to make a sound in 5 minutes, but anyway.
Yeah, I saw a DVD one time of learning how to play the guitar, and this was sold on the Home Shopping Network.
Ooh.
By a very famous Home Shopping Network guitar seller.
Ooh.
Who wears a black rimmed hat and sunglasses. I won't mention any names.
Ooh.
And that DVD was, let's see, I'm trying not to use bad words here. It was not good. It was terrible. It was awful. It ran you through probably a year and a half's worth of material in 10 minutes. Anybody who picked up that DVD and said, here's how I learned to play guitar, would have just quit. They would have said, well, this is too hard, I can't do it, and would have just quit. It was so terribly put together. And even what he did go through had no logical order to it at all. It didn't make any sense. It was, ugh.
Well, the problem is, to get in a DVD the same amount of content you would in a really great book, you'd need a DVD set of 50 DVDs.
Yeah.
Because it just explaining things and demonstrating them on video takes a great deal more time than what you would expect it to. So a book that is, you know, several thousand words long is going to have a great deal more content than a 2-hour DVD you bought somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some advantages to these type of videos. If it's a good video, then it will be hopefully showing you how to properly hold the guitar in a way that's difficult in print and on a physical diagram. They'll be showing you some technical things that would be very hard to get. And there are some DVDs that are very good ways to help you start. And a lot of times these DVDs are packaged with a good method book.
Yes, I was just about to say that. Having a book that's packaged with a DVD, or even just a CD, you know, like the Hal Leonard Bass Method comes with some CDs.
That's great. I've seen that.
It demonstrates the lines and also has some play-along tracks and stuff like that. Just because music is an aural, A-U-R-A-L, aural
with
skill.
Your ears. Yeah, you hear it.
It's something that you got to hear to be able to reproduce. And having that something to listen to of what you're learning is super valuable.
Oh, of course. Super valuable. And so almost any method book you buy nowadays will have a DVD or a CD with it. And something he mentioned earlier were play-along tracks. These are where you have an accompaniment track and you play your line on top of it and you get the feel of playing in a group or playing in a band. And that's pretty awesome. It can be fun.
Which is an incredibly important part of playing music.
It's true. Playing with other people. Say what? Okay. I think that's the only ever time I've used that phrase.
Say what?
Say what?
Yeah, don't use it anymore.
Okay.
We'll leave that to the experts.
All right. So, now there is this thing nowadays, you know, as we've got these books and we've got these DVDs that you can go out to a store and pick up or order over the internet, while you're on the internet, there are some wonderful resources for learning how to play an instrument on the internet. And many of those are represented on my website, freemusiced.org, from where this podcast is posted.
Yes, which is a wonderful resource.
It is. And the value of this resource is not only do we have some great things for you on our website, but we also have links to some of the best resources on the internet for various instruments.
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage you to take a look at what's there, because you may find, you can find more content than some of the best DVDs just on YouTube. But at the same time, you really don't know if these people are any good or not. They don't have a publisher behind them. You don't know what their credentials are, and some of them are quite terrible.
I'm thinking of this one particular set of videos that I found. I'm gonna have to show you this because it's hilariously bad.
Oh wow!
There's a guy on YouTube who does trombone.
Wait, hold on just a second. I've got to say, on freemusiced.org, though, you have my personal guarantee that I've looked at whatever resource we link to, and I like it and think it's good. I don't want you to think that I wouldn't. Anyway, yes, I'm sorry. I interrupted your story.
There's this guy on YouTube who does trombone lessons, and it is... He seems like he was a guy who once was a great player, and then it's like some Episcopalian church is putting out his videos, and... He's old, and I'm not sure he's aware of where he is.
Ooh.
And so he just kind of rambles, and then he plays badly. And says, oh, that's how you play jazz. And then he'll play some really messed up version of When the Saints Go Marching In or something. Out of tune, cracking notes, all sorts of problems. Like, and you can't understand what he's saying half the time. And he has, like, 50 videos.
Wow. Does he have a lot of hits?
Yes.
Thousands of people watching this
Yes,
video.
I know, and it's awful. It's just like, wow.
That's
you couldn't learn anything from that.
That's pretty unfortunate. So it's tough, because on the internet, of course, anyone can put up anything they want. You know, welcome to the internet revolution. But with that same thing comes a lot of messed up things, too.
Yeah, I would say out of every good thing that there is on the internet, there's probably at least 10 or 15 things that are equally as bad or worse.
As that is good, yeah. Another thing you can do, though, too, is look for your heroes on your instrument. I'll give you an example. I like Eddie Daniels. He's a good clarinet player. Like, considered to be the best in the world right now. He's done a bunch of videos with the fine people at Bakun, the clarinet production people. And I really enjoy them. They're very inspirational. But I'm looking at the best clarinet player in the world talking about clarinet for 5 minutes. Well, that guy has the credentials behind him.
Yeah, definitely.
There's universities that have put out some music content. There's a lot of different possibilities. There's band directors that sit around and make videos all day. They don't sit around and make videos all day. But they make some videos and put them out there, and some really great experience going into those.
You know, in the world of guitar and bass.
Oh,
and,
my goodness.
And drums.
Oh, it's
there,
true.
There are some excellent, excellent... educational guys out there that do fantastic tutorial videos on specific songs or specific techniques. There's two that I follow right now on the bass side. One is DK Marlowe, and I forgot the other guy's name. He's always wearing a glove on his left hand. He plays with a glove on his hand.
Wow. Make sure we post these on the website.
Yeah, well, I'll have to link you to that guy. His he does everything, man. He does real basic things, like beginner stuff, and then he's doing incredibly advanced techniques and scale patterns and stuff like that that most people can't even think about playing.
Another great example is the Vic Firth website.
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic.
For drums, my goodness, he has an amazing education section that goes into detail about all sorts of different drumming, everything from classical and band drumming and snare drumming to very complex set drumming and all sorts of different styles, to playing in a rock band, to wow. Just an amazing resource. And a lot of those come with different quizzes and things so that you can use them in a class setting if you're a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Some amazing resources like that. So look into those, because ultimately, whenever you play an instrument, it's going to be a long process that you carry out through most of your life. You're always going to be getting better. It's one of those things where you never arrive at the destination like, oh, I'm the best player I could ever be. It's always going to be growing, so you're always going to be approaching all of these resources. Even if you learn with a teacher, you're still going to be seeing these books and DVDs and these internet resources. So dip your head in them and really learn about your craft.
Mm-hmm. You know the Dizzy Gillespie quote?
Which one?
The more I learn, the more I learn there is to learn.
Ooh, that's deep. The more
Very
I learn,
deep.
The more I learn there is to learn.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that came from Dizzy Gillespie.
Who was phenomenal.
He's one of the best.
Except for budding trumpet players, please do not imitate his embouchure technique and puffing out his cheeks. I argue with students every year. He had some bad habits. Anyway, that being said, learning by yourself and learning through these different resources can be good, but there's some disadvantages. The big one is that you being inside yourself cannot observe yourself in the way that someone on the outside can.
Yeah.
So having a teacher, they're going to look at you and they're going to be able to spot things that they know because they're much further along in this journey that can save you an unreasonable amount of time and energy if you switch them and do them the right way.
Yes, they have the experience of the failure that you're walking into that they can guide you away from.
Oh, yes, yes. What you've really got in a private lesson instructor is whenever you practice an instrument, there's two big factors. One is how much time you actually spend practicing, and the other one is how efficient that time is spent.
Yes, efficiency is more important than the amount of time that you spend on it.
Well, depending. Ultimately, if you're not putting in enough time, it doesn't matter how efficient you are.
True.
If you're only practicing once a month, you're not going to get much better.
Well, of course. But if you're putting in, you know, 6 hours a day and it's incredibly inefficient, you could still be getting nowhere.
You wouldn't be getting as far as if you were spending 2 hours in a very efficient way.
Right.
So a private lesson instructor will help you become efficient, or a teacher of any type will help you become efficient in a way that you won't be able to do on your own without having already been there.
Yeah, they'll show you what to practice.
Well, and this is one of the reasons that people who play multiple instruments tend to learn a lot faster, is because they have now gone further down this path and can look back and relate the things they learned on one instrument to another instrument.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, too, if you're going to teach yourself, you're liable to be a lot more liable. That's a liable to be a lot more successful.
We're in Texas.
We're in Texas. You're liable to be a lot more successful if you will take and find yourself a lesson teacher. I don't know where I was going. Okay.
I lost that one.
I went to Texas. Okay, so here's another example. So teaching yourself is a possibility, but it comes with some major challenges. Another example is group classes.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever taken any group classes?
Well, you know, sixth grade band I did. I was in a trombone class that had about, I don't know, a dozen of us that were playing trombone. And we had one teacher.
Yeah, there you go. So, you know, when you're sitting there in the class, you get many of the advantages of having a teacher. They'll be able to look at you and spot some of the problems you're having. The disadvantage is that they're having to share that time with a great deal many more students. So I am a band director. I teach classes like these. And so I teach a clarinet class every day. It's got 23 students in it. Meanwhile, I've got a flute class that has only 12 students in it. I have a very different amount of time for these different types of students. And so while I can give good information every single day that I'm there with them, it's split up between a whole lot of different kids. And it's very difficult and very much an art of learning how to address each kid's individual issues.
Mm-hmm.
The other problem I have is that I have a spread. I have students that are going very fast and can move along quicker than the others. I've got some that are kind of in the middle that are just kind of, that's the round the pace we're going, although I try to go as fast as we can. And then finally, I have people down the bottom that start to get lost. And you're much more likely to get lost inside of a class than you are with a private lesson instructor who can pace things at your pace.
Right.
Same thing with if you're a fast learner and you really get into it and practice a lot, you'll be ahead of the other students. And that's just as discouraging as being behind.
Yeah, if you get bored.
So group classes kind of offer a compromise. They're often much cheaper than taking private lessons. A lot of schools offer them for free if you're a student in a high school or a middle school.
Mm-hmm.
In colleges, you see a great deal, and in community centers, you see a great deal of class guitar and class piano,
mm-hmm.
which have similar challenges. And I think this can be one of the best ways to start an instrument.
Yeah, absolutely. You have other people that you're working with that are going through the same process as you are, and in that sense, you're not going to get discouraged as easily because, well, everybody's terrible at first.
That's right, and you can see that in a way you can't on your own.
Yeah.
And at the beginning of playing an instrument, everybody starts at the same place, and it takes a little while before that spread happens.
You know, I tell students that, and they get discouraged whenever they're not doing something well, and it's like, well, you know what? Every great player was terrible at one point. And whenever they walked into something brand new, they were terrible. I have to tell new improvisers this all the time when they start learning how to solo and improvise. It's like, you're going to be terrible. Expect to make a lot of mistakes. Expect to stand up and have your pants fall off. That's going to happen to you. That's going to happen to you at a concert. It happens to everybody. It happens to all the greats. You know, you got
not literally.
No, not literally. Well,
Well, that yeah, most of the once. Time. That's,
but
I would not like to hear that story.
Oh, good. Here you go. I'm not going to tell you that. But, you know, everybody starts at the beginning. The race always starts at the starting line. And you have to go through those same growing pains that everybody else goes through. And you got to spend your time in the practice room and woodshedding out all the licks and all the technique and paying your dues and all that stuff. Everybody's got to go through that, you know?
Well, and to see other people doing that is really nice. And you don't get that in private lessons or when you teach yourself. You don't see everybody else being terrible. And sometimes you can get the idea that it's just you.
Yeah.
When you might actually be learning quite faster than most people. So that's kind of a benefit that you get there where you don't get in other places.
Right.
Another possibility too, if you can't, classes are great. The reason I said it's a great place to start is taking group guitar or piano for 6 months or so will let you see other people do it. You'll get to decide if you really like it. It's lower cost. And then at about 6 months where you're really starting to feel that spread, either you're getting really behind or really ahead in this class, that's a great time to switch to taking private lessons. Because now you know you can commit. You know that it's worth the money to do it because you've done it for 6 months.
And that class starts to hit a point where it does start to split up in between the more accelerated students and the not so accelerated students.
And again, that's not right at the beginning, but pretty soon it'll do that. So at 6 months is a good time, I think, to switch from doing group classes to doing private lesson instruction. Private lesson instruction is an interesting thing. This is where you have one-on-one time at least once a week with a private lesson instructor. And this is a little bit complicated. Do you want to talk some? Both Gannon and I teach private lessons. I teach private lesson students at the college level right now, and I've done high school and middle school level students previously. What's your split? Do you have many students right now? I know you've been doing a lot of repair work.
You know, at the moment, I don't have a whole lot of students. I'm going to be picking some more up soon, though. So I'm going to have more time this semester to do that kind of stuff. But my whole concept on private lesson teaching is that the instructor is a compass.
Ooh, you got Mr. Holland's opus on me.
Yes. The instructor is a compass. And I look at you and I can see where you are and I can see where you want to be headed or where you need to be headed. And I point you in that direction. I say, here's what you need to do to get there. But a private instructor is not going to do that work for you.
Right.
You have to get in the practice room, and you've got to dig down into there, and the student's got to work this stuff out, and the instructor can say, yes, that's what you need to be doing, and you're doing it great, or you're doing it mostly great, and you just need to work on this aspect right here. You need to kind of fine-tune this whole thing, and then we can move forward. I think a private lesson instructor, more than anything, is their most important role is to show you where you need to go and the things that you need to practice. Because as a young player or somebody who's just learning to play, you don't know what you need to do to become as great as the greats. If you did, then you would have already had the experience and you would be great. I mean,
it's the only way to do
it. It's the logic. And so having somebody out there who is great and can show you where to go, I think that's the most important part of having a private lesson instructor.
Well, I like what you said, too, about the private lesson instructor is the compass. They're pointing you in the right way. They're evaluating you and helping you grow. At the same time, they can't do any of the work for you. It reminds me, the best student I've ever had was a student I had over the last couple of years. She's probably going to make the Allstate band this year. Wonderful student. She would walk in, and we'd have a lesson, and I'd listen to her play, and I'd make suggestions and give her things to practice. And then she would practice.
Go and figure.
So when she came back, she was better, and she had improved in the ways that we had discussed. And so when we came back together again, we were able to take the next step. And by doing these things every single week, she grew and has become a very wonderful saxophone player and has discovered an entire side to the saxophone she never knew. And that was really a very exciting experience for me because many students are not like that. In fact, I would say the vast majority of students I've had, most of my job has been trying to make them practice, inspiring them, making them fill out practice slips, making them sit there and understand that the only way they get to point A to point B is to actually pick up their horn and practice.
I know, it's sad, but one of the most exciting moments in a private instructor's life is whenever they have a student who actually practices on a regular basis.
Well,
it's true, though. I mean, it just honestly doesn't happen often enough.
It's unrealistic. And students, they'll lie to you. They'll tell you, oh, I've been practicing.
We can tell.
It's true.
If you're not getting better, you're not practicing. It's really obvious.
Well, and
maybe, or if you're worse than the week before, you're not practicing.
I've had students like that. And if you don't practice, then what happens is that you walk in one week, you play, I give you advice, you come back the next week, and it's exactly the same. And I've never had a student, I've really never legitimately had a student who isn't getting better, who I couldn't sit there and go, you aren't practicing. And they go, oh no, really, I am practicing a whole lot. It's always, you know, you're right, I'm not really practicing very much. I've had other students that you see them getting better and you know they're practicing hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had students I've had practice for me before and I have to tell them, you need to practice more. But maybe the biggest role of the private instructor, in addition to being that compass, is to inspire you to practice,
mm-hmm.
to help you start to see where the potential of your instrument is, to take you outside of the bubble that you might have built, where you go, oh, I play pretty good, to see, oh, there's this entire new level that I can be aspiring to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's special. My best experiences as a private lesson student have been when I've stepped away from a lesson going, I'm going to practice so hard because I love what my private lesson instructor is able to do, and I want to be able to do that too.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying you've had instructors in your life that inspired you because of what they could do themselves.
Right.
Agreed. Because they were what you might say, highly qualified instructors.
They were highly qualified instructors. That's a note that we definitely need to bring up, and that's that there are people that advertise and teach private lessons that may not be entirely qualified to do so. And by qualified to do so, I don't necessarily mean, you know, college degrees and things, but I mean, first and foremost, they need to be a good player. And then secondly, they need to be a good teacher. And a lot of times those things do come along with degrees. Many times people who've studied music education and have lots of experience teaching private lessons are the best instructors because that's just how life works. The people who've done things the most are the best at them. just the plain truth of it. You might look into your private lesson instructor's credentials, find out how long they've been teaching. And more than anything, you need to like the way that they play. If you don't like the way that they play their instrument, then they probably aren't someone that you should take lessons from.
Sad truth? Not sad.
It's legitimate truth.
It's legitimate. It's harsh reality.
Well, it just like anything else. Like, I don't want to go and learn web design from someone who makes ugly websites.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Or who's never made a website, either one.
Yeah.
Right? Any craft you're going to learn, you want to find the most qualified instructor you can. And on the other side of that, too, is that there are people that are not phenomenal players that are amazing beginner instructors. That they have good fundamentals, but these people have never, you know, risen to rock star quality playing.
Yeah.
Where they knock you off your socks. However, they play pretty well, and they're amazingly good teachers.
Yeah, they're great communicators to their students.
It's true. And those teachers may be better than people that are phenomenal players, but actually aren't very good teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's two sides of every private lesson instructor.
Yes. Jekyll and Hyde.
Jekyll and Hyde. yeah, both.
I'm always like that in my lessons. It'll be just like nice, happy, nice, happy, nice, happy. And then if the student is just not getting where they need to go and I know they can do it, it's like I get mad for them.
Yeah.
And then I start to unleash on them a little bit. I made a girl cry one time. I felt bad.
I've had students cry before too. And it's not because I'm mean. It's usually honesty.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you tell a student, and this can seem harsh, but ultimately it's part of your job to say, what you're doing isn't enough. You're going to need to do more.
Mm-hmm.
We've discussed this, and you've told me that you're only practicing 30 minutes a week. Well, that's not enough time. You're not going to improve at the pace that you would like to improve, and so I really need you to do more. And some people, that'll break their heart.
But, you know, I have to say, as a musician, when I look back at my time growing, the times that I have learned the most are the times that I've had my butt handed to me by somebody.
That's true.
Whether it's a gigging experience or whether it's a lesson experience. I had a lesson with the trombone teacher at the Cincinnati Conservatory of Music, and he destroyed me for an hour. It was awful. It was absolutely awful. And you know what? It was that moment, and it was my sophomore year of college. And it was that moment where I made the cross from being an okay college trombone player. The day after that was when I started growing into a great player.
Well,
that was the turning point for me whenever I had somebody sit there and tell me, you're not doing this right. You're not doing it. You're not doing it. Stop it. Stop it. Do this. Do this.
If your lesson instructor is not telling you about things you're doing wrong, then maybe you don't need lessons, because it's their job. And this is tough. That not everybody understands this, that when you have teachers in your life, it's their job to tell you what you're doing wrong and tell you what you can be doing better. It's very important that you learn how to accept that and learn from it and not resent it. Mm-hmm. I've met people who are very resentful if I suggest that maybe what you're doing isn't right. And maybe part of that is that I haven't earned their trust. But the other part of that might be that this person is just very prideful. It can happen that people have decided that what they're doing is right no matter what, and that they already know so much they can't learn. And if you find yourself in that position, then you need to search your heart.
Yeah, you can't take this stuff personally.
You can't.
When it comes to music.
It's just a thing.
Rehearsals and teachers and stuff like that, you know? You're not perfect. You're not playing your instrument perfectly. Nobody ever has.
And this person is there, and you're taking their advice to get better. So don't take it badly. Take anything someone says you're doing wrong as a huge opportunity to get better. And then all of a sudden, the light.
There's that word. Opportunity.
I like opportunity.
Opportunity is such a positive word.
It is. Real quick before we finish this up, just a quick note about instrumental maintenance. Why don't you take that, Gannon? Yeah. You're a musical instrument repairman.
Musical instrument repairman. And I do repair for schools. We have a road guy that goes out and travels to schools, and he brings repairs back to me. I would say that 80 to 90% of the broken horns that I have in my shop are caused because of poor maintenance, because kids are just not taking care of their stuff. Mm. And that's not an over-exaggeration. The other 10% are because of something stupid happened.
Right.
Like I fixed a tuba earlier this week because a kid tripped, knocked a tuba onto another tuba, and destroyed both of them.
Ooh.
Sheared a valve stem off a valve. I had to fix that. It crunched in a bell and all that stuff.
This is like worse than a car accident.
Yeah, it was awful. Two destroyed tubas that I had to rebuild.
I'm very sad now.
But the rest of the problems that I have, it's almost always maintenance issues. Brass instruments, you've got to keep them clean. You've got to keep them greased. You got to keep them oiled. Mm. You got to keep the parts moving. All of your slides have got to be moving. I make it a habit with my trombone. Every time I put that horn in the case, I push all the slides all the way in. When I pull it back out of the case, I pull them out to where they need to be and readjust.
Oh, that's great. Well, so what you're saying is that the two parts of maintenance for your instrument are, number one, knowing what that maintenance is by researching it, and then number two, actually doing it when you use your instrument.
Yes, there's so many different maintenance issues with so many different horns that we can't go over it all, you know.
Oh, not
in even one single podcast. We could spend a whole 10 podcasts talking about that.
That's true.
But you need to have a basic understanding of how your horn works and what are the main things that causes it to work and not work. Like on a woodwind instrument, know what a good and a bad reed is.
Oh, it's true.
Lots of young kids are playing on bad reeds.
Well, that's not even a maintenance issue. That's just a reed issue. I could do 4,000 podcasts on reeds. They are the spawn of Satan, reeds.
But knowing what a leak is, what an air leak is in your horn, you know, if you're squeaking and squawking on something that you shouldn't be, something's probably wrong with your horn.
Well, the same thing with just knowing how to properly store your instrument. If you play an instrument, making sure you have the appropriate materials for it. No matter what you play, you're probably going to need a cleaning cloth. You're probably going to need a safe, hard case for it to protect it from anything that might happen to it. You know, all these things go into it. So basically, this is just a reminder at the end of this podcast that you need to be aware of your maintenance for whatever instrument it is you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
And however you wind up learning to play your instrument, probably like everybody else, you're going to be using a combination of all these methods. You're going to probably be in a class for your instrument at some point. You're probably going to own books and DVDs, and you probably are going to look up your instrument on the internet. All of these things together, there's one other important aspect that no matter which one of these you're doing, and that is that you're listening to that instrument being played.
Oh, yeah, we should do a podcast on that subject.
Just on listening.
I really think we could.
Quite easily.
And that we should.
Listening podcast in the future.
It boils down to this simple fact right here. You are playing a musical instrument that is making a sound that you're using to communicate with other people. In order to do that well, you've got to know what that sounds like.
Exactly.
You've got to listen to other people, and you have to hear. If you do not have a concept in your brain of this is what a great trombone sounds like, this is what a great clarinet sounds like, this is what a great trumpet sounds like, if that's not in your head, before you ever even put the horn to your face, it's never going to come out the end of the horn. You have no chance of going, oh, well, now I'm going to sound great. You don't know what great is. You don't know what a good tone is. You don't know what good style is. You don't know what good articulation sounds like. You're shooting at a target with a blindfold on after being spun around 30 times. You're not going to hit it. It's just not going to happen. So, you got to listen to great music.
Listen, take care of your instrument, and then use some type of resources. This has kind of been a lot of topics in this podcast.
Yeah.
But if you have any questions for anything that we've talked about, go to freemusiced.org. Freemusiced.org.
Freemusiced.org.
Freemusiced.org.
Freemusiced.org.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Stop singing right now, because we would like people to go there. And if you'll take a look, we've got lots of resources for different instruments and a whole lot of different links to other websites that also have information for your instrument. There's a lot of great knowledge out there. That's probably all we should talk about this podcast. We should let people go.
Yeah.
Goodbye, everyone. And all right, you guys take care and keep practicing.
Have fun. Practice.